the traditional reading for the Sunday of Epiphany from the second chapter of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to King Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless to us this reading from the gospel, for this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do we ever wonder why these three wise men, or magi, or three kings, as we call them, felt compelled to come to see Jesus? These stargazers from the east, for that's what they were, the stargazers. Well, a bit of background. They were perhaps, most likely, from Persia, which was the home of the Zoroastrian religion. It was a religion that looked constantly to the stars and to strange astral phenomena for inspiration and also for signs and omens. But that was just really an observational endeavor, because for the most part, the stars followed rather routine patterns, and it probably also was not in the official job description of magi to take off on long travels to a place somewhere else on Earth, treating a star like it was a homing beacon. Now, the science of the adoration of the Magi, as it's called, is a source of lively debate among biblical scholars, and also the dating of when it is that they came to find Jesus. Because the text, as you may have recalled, I paused for emphasis, it actually says they entered a house, not a stable. And Herod took drastic action, we read in Matthew, against all male children that were 2 years and younger. It seems that Christmas pageants notwithstanding, Magi came to see not a babe, but a toddler, with gifts foretold by Isaiah's prophecy 500, 600 years prior. Imagine that. Go all that way to find a 2-year-old. Now, maybe, though, they were spiritually compelled. In ways not to be explained, they just saw the star and they followed. And having encountered this God with us in that humble setting, they, as it tells us in the text, and I love the possible double meanings here, They went home by another road. Soul-deep encounters with Jesus tend to do that, to go by another road to those who seek Him for light. We may not always want to arise and shine, as Isaiah says, but the Spirit wins out eventually. Now, friends, there are signs around us all the time, you know. No, I'm not talking about mystical signs. I'm talking about signs, actual signs. You know, if you go shopping, especially if you're in one of these seemingly innumerable gift shops, you will find that they all are awash in signs. Signs that are printed out on these little pieces of wood. Sometimes they are risque little signs. Sometimes they have pithy little sayings. But besides those signs, there also are larger poster-type signs. From earlier years, some of us may remember some of those signs, some of those poster signs we posted on our walls. Okay, here's the quiz. You are a child of the universe, no less than the moon and the stars. What was that named? Desiderata? Come on, you had that on your college walls. Okay. There was also from Ralph Waldo Emerson, there was a poster, To Laugh Often. Anybody have that one? No? Did you go to college? Okay. Everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten, or if Kevin was here, he would say, Star Trek. Yes. Everything I needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten or Star Trek. Now today, those signs that we put on the walls tend to be more serious and practical, developmental maybe, and also seem to be kind of shallow. Mainly shallow because we hang them up on our walls and then we don't do them. As if the plaque, putting it up there on the wall, is its own reward. Well, one of these types of signs that are increasingly now on the internet caught my attention. It was a link from a Presbyterian Church USA website about Presbyterian Young Adult Volunteers, or YABS in Presbyterianese. A young woman named Sophie Beal from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church in Cleveland Heights posted this on her Tumblr account. It was chronicling her year-long experience at a place called The Gateway in Atlanta, Georgia, which is a ministry to people in deep and immediate need, needing direct, unfiltered care. And this is what she posted. This is your year. Laugh from your soul. Dream even bigger. Live in the moment. Stop comparing to others. Be joyous in yourself. Strive for contentment. Add memories, not things. Give with no expectations. Find beauty in simplicity. Live. Now, I guess a young and idealistic Presbyterian starting a year of hands-on training with people who were truly struggling to get by in life could think of this as a roadmap, a star to follow, if you will. You might think that surely she can't project this on people who have nothing but desperation, can she? And yet, listen to what Sophie wrote partway through her year of service. Although it may seem cliche, I believe these are words we must remind ourselves every day. Things become cliche because they're fundamentally true, true enough to have been repeated over and over again. Happy, belated New Year, everyone. I thought that at the beginning of this new year, that I might template Sophie's thoughts onto the Magi on this Sunday. And when I did so, I found indeed that this was the year as she said. This was the year in which these magi would leave their comfortable surroundings and seek to follow the light that they sensed was greater than all that they had known. And imagine their joy when on entering the house they found this child of infinite and divine promise. And suddenly, their dreams of the stars were not in the heavens, but here on earth for all people, for all nations, represented by them as something now to share. It was a moment when time stood still, a deafening silence, a deepening silence, a moment when God and humanity were joyous and at peace with God, with the world, with themselves, because of their quest to seek. It was such an unexpected, but oddly not uncomfortable, humility that made these gifts of royalty, gold and frankincense and myrrh, to be at home and genuine. They gave their gifts to Jesus without expectations, because their memory of the divine beauty in this setting of simplicity would stir contentment and also a holy yearning for the rest of their days. And their souls would laugh, knowing that they would leave that vile Herod waiting and wondering and worrying. For their path would never go back that way. In this world now filled with the light made flesh would also never be able to accept total darkness again. Can we do that? Can we be the magi? Can we be the wise ones who arise and who shine, who proclaim that our light has come and that we're on a God-guided path? Or have we romanticized those magi so much, thinking that, well, they looked for the star and saw it. It was an easy choice. It was a holiday excursion to seek out that star of Bethlehem. Is this a message for us? And if it is, what is it that will get us to arise and to shine? When I was a young boy, I had the privilege of spending 4 consecutive summers with my Uncle Lamar's family on their Georgia farm. We did a lot of things on the farm, from doing hard chores to minding livestock and the occasional hog wrestling episode. I cannot believe I did that. Those hogs were big. We went to bed each night absolutely exhausted. And at or before daybreak, both my cousin Greg and I, who slept in the same room, were lifted out of bed by our ankles and suspended in midair by our high school age, weightlifting, well-muscled, athletic cousin Doug, who then proceeded to jolt us even further every morning by yelling, "Rise and shine, face the glorious day with a smile on your face and love in your heart," as we're hanging upside down in the air. Well, friends, smiling and loving were not foremost on my mind each morning at that particular moment. Yet throughout the day to come, working hard and forming those values of appreciation for life and consideration of the worth of people as was modeled by their family that we lived, well, those words became imprinted on my heart as well as my ankle. Truisms, yeah. Truth, yes, if I let it become truth. And I'm thinking to myself, perhaps this Epiphany Sunday in this season, maybe this is God's way of lifting us up by the ankles or otherwise with a jolting message that Christ is the light of the world and that light's been placed in our hands to rise up and shine if we dare start that journey. and we may not want to. For it can take us places that we don't expect to go. And it can cause us to become one of those people who now encounters those that we had become accustomed to ignore or avoid. Because we do make comparisons. We do expect gifts in return. We are afraid of living simply and humbly and contentedly. But again, our young adult volunteer, Sophie, comes through with an insight. It is often hard to accept that there are some things about yourself that you cannot necessarily control. You are who you are, and beyond that, other people are who they are, too. You can't control or change others. The best you can do is to let go and try to understand them and love others in spite of fundamental differences. And she concludes, and while you're at it, try to understand and love yourself too. Well, friends, I don't know about you, but this new year I've decided not to form any New Year's resolutions. First of all, because if I have to resolve something, I probably, almost certainly, will not do it. And that just makes me fall short of something I resolved at some static point in the past. And I truly don't need more reminders of my limitations. So no resolutions. But Epiphany gives us something infinitely, literally infinitely better. Epiphany gives us the light of the star of Jesus Christ to follow. Not once, but daily and continually. And each day, living and dreaming and loving and embracing that light, we find Jesus constantly in humble settings, in fulfilling joy, and in life-changing events. So friends, arise and shine. Or as Cousin Doug said loudly, rise and shine, for your light has come. And it's time for us to walk like a magi and then go on different roads into the days ahead. Amen.